We had just begun Yeshaya Perek Nunches. Mm-hmm. Pasuk Gimel, we began part of Pasuk Gimel last week, and we'll resume and hopefully finish Perek Nunches, which is the completion of the Haftorah read on the morning of Yom Kippur. And as we'll see, it's very appropriate for Yom Kippur. It talks about the purpose of a fast day. People say on a fast day, Pasuk Gimel, Lo Matzamnu V'lo Ra'isa. Why do we fast and you don't see what we're doing? Ininu Nafshenu, we cause our self to suffer. We afflict our soul. V'lo Seda. And it's as if you don't know. This is the feeling people have. They're fasting and they're going through the days of... they're spending the day of Yom Kippur, and they don't feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding. And here comes Hashem's answer. Hain, behold, b'yom tzomchem timtzu chefetz. On your fast day, you seek out personal gain. Chefetz, what you want to do. You're fasting, but you're involved in your own interests. Timtzu chefetz. V'chol atzveichem tingosu, and all of your, is it difficult to translate these words, atzveichem, some mafarshim learned, it comes from the word otzev, to be sad. There's sometimes a person's in a situation where he just feels depressed, which is understood to mean if he owes money. If the guy has mountains of debt, that's the situation of v'chol atzveichem. V'chol atzveichem, all of your debts, the debtors, tingosu, you press them to pay you up. Very often on the fast day, you know, there's somebody who owes you money and he's trying to avoid the creditors. He doesn't want to be seen. And then on a fast day, it was a community fast, and everyone gathers together. And when they all gather together, they meet each other. And that's the opportune time to say, by the way, remember you owe me the money. We're talking in a case where the debtor doesn't have the money. And if you know he doesn't have the money, you're not allowed to bother him and press him for it if he doesn't have. If he has, of course, he has to pay it up. Yeah. But v'chol atzveichem, Rashi says, Balei chov shalachem, those who owe you the money, Hanetzavim al yedchem, and they're saddened through you because they owe you money. Atem nogsim osam biyom tzomchem. On your fast day, you press them to pay it up. The Marikara learns atzvechem is the word like esek shalachem, all of your business dealings. Again, those who owe you money, they have an involvement with you financially, and then on the fast day, you press them to pay. Metzudas takes a different approach. V'chol atzveichem, again, atzveichem means to be sad. What causes a person to feel a cloud of gloom? And the Metzudas says very often a person goes through the fast day and he's fasting. Yeah. But instead of him focusing on his fast day to try to change himself and come close to Hashem, on his fast day, the words of the Metzudas David, Klomer kol echad mikem yidrosh v'yimtza dover hachofetz bo. Everyone finds something that he enjoys, v'tavoso elov, and he has a desire, a taiva for that item, that thing. V'yasek bo, and he gets involved, lahofet mimenu tzar hatainis, because he wants to dissipate the pain of fasting. So imagine the guy's fasting. So he goes to a concert, or he plays a ball game, or he goes to sleep the whole day. Listen, where it's difficult to fast, certainly sleeping. But, sometimes a person just goes ahead and he tries to avoid not to feel the fast. And he doesn't put his heart to return to Hashem. V'chol atzveichem, and what saddens you, kol itzavon hatainis telachatsu. You press that sadness of the fast, lasir mikol v'chol. to remove it totally with things that gladden you. Of course, this is difficult. We, you know, there's, to us, certainly, it seems like we have a lot of fast days, even though, you know, there are many people who fast much more. But, you know, even though the mandatory fast days, it's difficult to fast. But we have to keep in mind the purpose of the fast day is not just to fast, and very often we find ourselves fasting and we're trying to think of every way to avoid the message. As the Malbim says, the purpose of the fast day is to repel all the nyonov habisorim, the matters of the flesh, not to be involved with eating and drinking. Remove yourself from the physical, mibli yachbots behem klal, that he shouldn't want it. On a fast day, this is one day he's taking a day off from his physical comfort and pleasure. But it's not that way, because Hashem says, on this day, you still have that desire. You haven't gotten the message that today we are acting like prushim. Today we're abstaining from the benefit of the world. Even though physically we might not put any food into our mouth, but we're not living the way the fast is supposed to be. As he says, the tzom hu kemasa kovid aleichem. The fast is like a heavy burden. Mitzapim eis ovro. And we're looking forward, when's it going to be over? Shetuchlu loshuv el cheftzeichem. That you can get back to what you want to do. Let's get, you know, as soon as the fast is over, we'll get back to life, you know. Hein l'rivu matzo totsumum. Posuk dalid. Hein indeed l'rivu matzo totsumu. For grievance and strife. That's why you're fasting. Ulahakos be'egrof resha. To strike each other with a wicked fist. Lo satsumu chayom. You're not fasting as a day that lashmiya b'morom kolchem. That your voice should be heard in Shemayim. That, you know, today's the day that our prayers will rise. And we'll connect with Hashem. That's not the kind of fast you have. The fast itself is the reason why you're coming to fight and to argue, because again, on the fast day, everyone gathers together, and there's certain people that you don't get along with, and on the fast day, when everyone's there, you encounter him. So very often, the fast day itself causes machlokas and arguing. The truth is, there's another point here that I think is a valid point, and that is, in general, a person has to be careful with a fast day. When a person's in a good mood, very often, he feels if you're in good spirits, you're enjoying yourself, you feel easy to share with others. They should also enjoy. Very often when a person is suffering, he thinks to himself, you know, I'm suffering, I just can't deal with anyone else, I can't handle your problems. And there's a certain type of coldness and a distance that you feel from the other. In other words, if I myself am suffering, I have to take care of myself now. I can't help anyone else because I myself am suffering. So very often, instead of the fast day, it's brought down by fast days. They wouldn't eat that day. There are those who say they should give the money that they saved from eating. No, they didn't eat breakfast or lunch. Okay, supper, they'll break the fast. And I don't know if in those days they ate a big break the fast, it's at night, after all day of eating, they ate something. But they save money on food for that day. So they take that money that they saved and they give it to the poor. Or they save money on lunch, give it to the poor, he'll also be able to break the fast. But it very often is difficult for a person to feel that way. He gets a little bit grouchy and a little bit, he's not happy when he's fasting. Very often, hein l'rivu matza totsumu, it causes grievance and strife. Ulahakos be'egrof resha, and the guy strikes with a wicked fist. You see, fighting is not a Jewish thing. Loma sakere yecha, hitting somebody, punching somebody. That's a wicked fist. It's an egrof resha. But very often, that's what the fast can lead to, the exact opposite of what it's intended for. He doesn't have patience with others. Lo satsumu chayom, you're not fasting as a type of day, lashmiya b'morom kolchem, that your voice will be heard in Shamayim, in the heavens. Hachazeg yitzom evchareyu. And even if you fast and the day goes well, you don't get into arguments with others, and you are not involved in your other pursuits, you're not interested in getting over with the fast, you're really taking the fast to heart. I've heard many people say on the fast day, the standard, people will bless each other, have an easy fast. Some people use the expression, have a meaningful fast. You know, it shouldn't just be a day that you suffered. It should have some meaning. It should, be a meaningful fast. And the truth is, even though normally a person, very often it can be a chesed. Somebody once said, a teacher before he comes into the classroom should make sure to eat breakfast. Otherwise, he'll eat up the students. he comes in and he had a good meal and he feels good. He's able to be in a good mood and teach. If he walks in and he's all upset, the kids suffer. A person should have that in mind sometimes. I think it's a very noble thing. A person sometimes, if he's going to sleep or if he's eating or whatever he's doing, he says, after I take this nap or after I have something to eat, I'll be able to be nicer to others. It's a noble machshava. It's a good thought to have. But on the other hand, sometimes a person, when he's fasting, that has its own advantages, to feel the pain and to separate from this world and to know that others are lacking. If you've never experienced being without food, how can you appreciate the life of the poor who never knows where his next meal is coming from? But even if the day goes well, you didn't get into any fights, you spend your day thinking how to serve Hashem, how to pray. But hachazeh yitzom evchareyu. Do you think that this is the type of fast that I choose? Yom anos odom nafsho. A day when a person just causes himself to suffer. Halochov kagmon rosho. Is the purpose of a fast that he should bend his head like an agmon? Some of Forshim learn Agmon is like a blade of grass, a reed, a bulrush. The bulrush that he can just bend over. So he bends his head over like he looks like a humble, contrite person. Others learn Agmon is sort of like a fishing hook. Rashi says you take a needle or then you bend it over and then you use that to catch fish. He bites the bait on the hook and you caught the fish. But is that the idea to just bend over your head? Kalachov ka'agmon rosho, to bend over his head like this reed, like the bulrush, like a fishing hook. V'sak v'efer yatsia, and he spreads out under him, he lies on sackcloth and ashes to show that he's suffering. He doesn't lie in a nice comfortable set of linen on a beautiful mattress. He puts down the dirt, the ashes, and rough sackcloth, and that's how he goes to sleep. Is that what Hashem wants? Halozet tikrot tzom. Is this what you call a fast? V'yom ratzon Hashem, and a day of favor to Hashem. So even if you don't end up doing the wrong things, and you really spend the fast like you would think Hashem wants, to suffer and to renounce the pleasures of the world and to really focus on the spiritual, but that's still not the main purpose of the fast.
Right.
Hashem is not interested in the external actions that a person's showing his suffering. It's all there to bring an inner feeling. Halozetzom evchareyu. This is the fast that I choose. And by the way, throughout, we've been translating tzom as a fast. The truth is, the Malbim says the word tzom is to gather together. You have different times that mibad letzamoseich, the women had something to hold their hair together. Even found in the Gemara, tzom es hagidin, where the sinews of the animal are held together. Somas means to gather together.
Yeah.
Now when Klai Yisrael gathered together, they gathered together, it was very often with a fast day and a communal gathering to see how to improve. And part of the seriousness of the situation was we're gathering together, no food or drink, we're just here to correct ourselves. It's a concept we don't have too much nowadays. We, you know, we live with the legislated fast days. But that was the way they used to gather together. And since normally on a tzom, when they gathered together, they fasted, we use the term tzom as to mean fast. Here the Malbim, though, constantly says, since you find ininu nafshenu, to cause the suffering, the tzom means just to gather together, and the suffering is the yom anos adam nafsho. But halozit tzom evchareyu. What is the fast, or what is the gathering that I'm looking for? Hashem says, what I want is pateach artzubos resha, to break open chartzuvos resha, the shackles of wickedness, that people are chained to their misfortune, their suffering, and people have, could be they have Jewish slaves, or could be there are others that are there whose lives are being made miserable through them. Pateach, you got to open up those chartzuvos resha, the shackles of wickedness. Hatera gudos mota, and undo the bonds of injustice. Mota is not as strong a term as wickedness. Mota means there's injustice. People aren't being treated fairly. But even that has to be removed. Hatera gudos mota, undo the bonds of injustice. Vishalach ritzutzim chofshim, let the oppressed go free. V'chol mota tinateku, and annul all the perversion, the injustice. Open up the situation that people are released from their suffering. Halo foros lo roiv lachmecha. Now we're going to talk about stucco. We're going to talk about stucco. That's where the Navi places his stress. What should be the focus of the fast day? To focus on helping out your fellow Jew. Halo foros l'roiv lachmecha. Surely you should break your bread for the hungry. V'aniyim merudim tovi boyis. And the poor who are merudim, groaning and suffering, bring them into your house. Kisira orom v'chisi so. When you see a person who's not clothed, v'chisi so, clothe him. And don't hide yourself from your relative. There are three things that it mentions here helping out the poor. Food, clothing, shelter. Halo foros l'roiv lachmecha. Break for the poor from your bread. The same good food that you are eating. Share with him. Don't give him an inferior quality. Give him from your own bread. V'aniyim merudim tovi boyis, and bring those groaning poor into the house. Kisira orom v'chisiso, when you see somebody naked who's not dressed, clothe him. Umi v'sor chalosis alom, and from your relative, don't look away. Losis alom can also mean don't hide yourself so that he shouldn't see you. Yefrei, when he comes to you, he's going to say, dear brother, help me out. So you hide. Mivasorcha lo sisalom. There's a famous story with Rabbi Akiva Eger. He once came to a town, and when he came to the city, he inquired about a certain distant relative, who was a plain individual, nowhere on the near the stature of Rabbi Akiva Eger, who was already the Gadol Hador, known as one of the greatest Klal Yisrael has ever had. And Rabbi Akiva Eger came to this place, and he was looking, you know, he wanted to look up his relative. So people said, it's beneath his dignity to look and track down his relative who lived in some shack at the end of the town and was not a prominent member of the community. Rabbi Akiva Eger answered, it says when you find an Aveda, When you find a lost item, you're not allowed to look away. You have to return it. You pick up the aved and you return it. But the Gemara says, V'yisalamta mehem, the Gemara makes a drasha, sometimes you are allowed to look the other way. You're walking down the street, and you see somebody left a bag of dirty laundry. And you're the type of person that would never walk in the street with your own laundry. Assuming you're a important person, you never walk in the street carrying a laundry bag. And now you see somebody left his laundry bag. You're allowed to leave it. If he's a zokim ve'enel of fi kavodo, he's a chush of a person, and it's beneath his dignity, then he doesn't have to return the aveda. And that's learnt out from v'hisalamta. Sometimes you can look away, pretend you don't see it. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, that's all fine by Hashavas Aveda. It says, v'hisalamta, you're allowed to, as if you're not seen. You don't see the Aveda. But when it comes to this, to a relative, our pasuk, mibesorcha lo sis alom, and from your kin, don't hide yourself. Relatives are special. Even if they're not important, and they're not viewed by others as important, if he's your relative, lo tisalam, don't hide yourself. And the truth is, when you see the poor person, other mafarshim say you have to view it as if he's you. He's part of you. Umibasarcha, he's your flesh. A fellow Jew is part of you. He's your basar. He's your own flesh. And lo tisalam, you can't look away. If you give tzedakah, if that's the message you get from the fast day, then your light will burst forth like the dawn. And your healing will speedily sprout. Now, the items what we're mentioning here, the Malbim points out, this success that a person will have is limited in a number of ways. First of all, it's the type of salvation. The one who gives tzedakah will build in progression. It's not going to be sudden. It's going to be like the morning light. That's a gradual process. It's also the type of process that comes in its time. After the night, after whatever amount of time, the morning comes. And the third item is, it's natural. It's a natural course of events, and we'll see what the contrast is shortly. If a person gives tzedakah, oz yiboka kashachar orecha, your light will break forth like the dawn, which comes in its time, gradually, in bederech hateva, natural. Your healing will speedily sprout. But again, it's going to sprout forth, which is a gradual, normal, natural process. Your righteousness will precede you. Before you get to when a person after 120 and he's nifter, his righteousness will precede him and lead him into Gan Eden. Kavod Hashem Yasvecha, the glory of Hashem will gather you in. It's like he'll have his righteousness leading the way in front of him, and the honor of Hashem in back of him will be protected on all sides, the tzedakah that he did, and will usher him into Olam Haba. There are many drushes on these psukim, which we won't get to most of them, but the Gemara mentions V'halach Lefanecha Tzidkecha, that a person's righteousness should go before him. You see here the purpose of tzedakah. Right. That a person does tzedakah, it leads the way, it paves the road for him. Oz tikrov Hashem yaneh. Then you will call out and Hashem will respond. And sometimes it's an emergency. Teshava, you'll cry out in pain. You need help now. It's a time of an emergency. V'yomar hineni, and Hashem will say, I'm here right now. Im tosir mitochecha mota, if you remove from your midst perversion, the injustice, Shlach etzba, the finger pointing. Very often when one rebukes another, he points his finger to drive home his point. And the one who's being accused feels so small and insignificant, and he doesn't know how to respond. There's the shlach etzba, pointing with a finger. Vidaber oven, an evil speech. These are the three components: the thought process, the speech, and the action. In tasser mitochecha mota, remove from within yourself the wrong thoughts, thoughts of perversion, of hurting. If you're planning to do something and someone else will suffer as a result, remove those kind of thoughts from you. The actions of shlach etzba, that accusing finger, v'daber oven, in the speech, the evil speech. And the Gemara points out that here, if somebody gives tzedakah, he merits six different blessings. Beginning in Pasuk Ches, Yiboka kashachar orecha, his light breaks forth like the morning. Arus chascha mehira sitzmach. V'holach lefanecha tzivkecha, kivod Hashem yasvecha. And the fifth one is tikrov Hashem yane, and the sixth thing is teshava v'yomar hineni. There were six blessings we had for the one who gives tzedakah. And as we pointed out, though, it's limited. These are things that it's a gradual salvation. It's in its time and it's natural. Now we're going to get to even a higher level. Pasuk Yud. B'safek l'ra'ev nafshecha. If you offer your soul to the hungry, the one who's hungry, you give him your soul. You listen to him. You commiserate. You offer him words of comfort. He's going around from one person to another trying to collect enough money for his coffee or for a meal or something to eat. And you don't have anything to give him. But you at least say, if I had, I would certainly want to share. You give him your soul. V'nefesh nano tasbia. And the afflicted soul you satisfy. With your words you comfort him. As Rashi says, "B'tanchumei devarim tovim," you comfort him with your good words. This is much, much greater. We're going to see now 11 blessings. The Gemara says, "V'safek l'roiv nafshecha v'nefesh nano tasbia." When you comfort that one who's suffering with your words, listen to these blessings: "V'zorach b'choshech orecha." Your light will shine even in the darkness. In the darkness is not the time when the light appears. Daybreak is at the end of the night. But this is already going to come when it's not the normal time. You can be in the middle of the darkness and it'll shine. And that's not the natural b'derech ha-teva either. V'afeloscha katzoroyim. And your deepest gloom will be like the noon. These are not natural, and it's not in the normal expected time, and it's sudden. In the middle of the darkness, everything, the gloom is dissipated, and it's bright and illuminated. That's the blessing for giving your words to the poor.
Rabbi, the Ani doesn't think so. He just wants money.
The truth is, I don't know if that's... I hear your question that the Ani just wants money. The truth is, it's not, you know, it's funny, but it's not that way. Even though we imagine that it is that way, but the Ani, you know, he suffers such degradation, such difficult times, that somebody commiserates with him, you know, it really means, obviously, we're going to see in a moment 11 blessings for when you give him your word. Tosfos says over there in Baba Basra, we're talking about a person giving his word without giving money. If he gives the money, he gets all the blessings. He gets the six we had before, plus these 11, he'll get 17 blessings. But the truth is, and there's a story, the Seder of Meir Shapiro once went to a wealthy man to get a donation. And the wealthy man rebuffed him and didn't give him anything. So Rav Meir Shapiro said to him, "You should know you're treating me like a pregnant woman." So the guy looked at him and he said, "What? Like a pregnant woman? What does that have to do with Rav Meir Shapiro?" So he said, "I'll tell you why. Sometimes you go to a person and he gives you a lot of money, but he heaps scorn on you. Yeah, he tells you to wait, and then you got to speak to the secretary and come back later, and you know, he's too busy for you, and he tells you how busy he is, he really doesn't have the time. But at least after it's all done, he gives you nice money, he gives you a nice donation. But you say the fact that you went through all of this difficulty, it should be a kapara." Sometimes the person doesn't give you anything, but at least he, you know, you made the effort, you tried to see him, and he didn't give you anything, but at least he, you know, he commiserated with you, but at least, you know, you didn't get anything out of all that effort. So you say, okay, I tried, I didn't get anything, it should be a kapara. But he said, when I came to you, you didn't help me, you didn't give me any money, and you gave me bizyonos. Which type of person brings two kaparas? So it says before Yom Kippur, they slug kaparas. If a pregnant woman doesn't know if she's going to have a boy or a girl, she brings two kaparas. She'd bring a chicken and she'd bring a rooster. The only one who brings two kaparas is a pregnant woman. So you treated me like a muberes. But, you know, the truth is very often, you know, people will say, a poor person comes, whatever I give him, I can't get him out of his problems. In other words, he comes and he needs hundreds of thousands of dollars. Whatever the cause is, sometimes it's just impossible to help him. And the truth is, if you give him a dollar, it really doesn't go very far. A $5, $10, what does it do? But he goes to everybody and hopefully he gets something and he works out something. But it's more meaningful to him very often to have the person who cares. That's what they say, Mishulachim, who go, you know, from one place to another. A guy who comes in and says, "Oh, I have a coffee, you know, here, maybe I can get you here, take a Danish." Sometimes it's the feeling of somebody's in it with you is, you know, is more valuable. Even though you're right, it would seem to be just, you know, give me the money and that's it. But very often the feeling of commiseration is worth, the Gemara says is worth more, and very often it's more difficult to do. It's a lot easier to grumble and give the guy a dollar than to really, you know, say, "Oh, you know, how about coming in and I'll make you a coffee." You know, it's, you just rather just give it, here's a dollar and be gone. But if somebody can do this, v'safek l'roi v'nafshecha, to give his soul, to bring out his soul for the hungry, v'nefesh nano taspia, and the afflicted soul he satisfies, he will merit these following blessings. V'zorach b'choshech orecho, in the dark, your light will shine. V'afiloschov katzaroyim, and your deepest gloom will be like the noon. V'nochacho Hashem tamid, you won't have to cry out and call out to Hashem. Hashem will constantly guide you. V'ispia b'tzachtzochos nafshecho, and even if it's times of drought, you'll be like irrigated, like saturated with goodness. V'atmosecha yachalitz, you won't need to have a refuah to be healed. You'll quickly, your refuah will quickly sprout. Your bones will be invigorated. Atmosecha yachalitz, you'll feel your bones strengthened. You'll have the chilutz atzamos that we mentioned by Rosh Chodesh benching. V'yisa kigan rove, you'll be like a well-watered garden. And like a spring of water, whose waters never fail, you'll be constantly a source of blessing and of bracha. You won't have to come on to others and wait for Hashem to help you. You'll be the source of blessing. The ancient ruins will be rebuilt through you. Most Dor Vador Tekomein. The foundations that have been destroyed from generations, those most Dor Vador, the foundations that were sitting there for generations, Tekomein, you'll once again restore. You know, for years after the Jordanians got the old city of Yerushalayim in 1948, the Churva Shul, one of the beautiful shul, was destroyed. And for decades it was destroyed. I mean, they built an arch. There was an arch in that spot, but the shul wasn't rebuilt. Recently, it's been rebuilt. But it comes to mind, this idea, you can have a ruin that's been sitting there, and all of a sudden it's restored. V'kora l'cha goder peretz, and they'll call to you the one who repairs the breaches. Mishovev nesivos l'shoves, the restorer of the paths, l'shoves, to be habited. When the cities are rebuilt, so the roads of travel are once again filled with people going from one city to another. But the answer to how you rebuild a country, how you rebuild a society, it's got to start with the care for the poor and for the commiseration, taking out your soul and offering it to the one who's in need. And there are 11 blessings that he zochet to the one who speaks this way. And this is the way he acts to the poor. Rashi mentions Meshovev Nesivos Loshoves, the restorer of the paths, Loshoves, to be inhabited. He brings down the Targum, Mesiv Rishiaya Lo Raisa. It means he's able to bring back the wicked back to Torah. He puts them back on the derech. This is just in case somebody wanted to use this as an appeal, and it was very strong on the tzedaka from our front. Now you can use it for a kiruv rechokim appeal. Somebody who's mishovev nesivos brings the wicked back onto the right path. That loshoves, they're now settled on the correct road in life. That's a tremendous zechus. And now the Novi continues. And again, what's interesting is the focus is what the purpose of the fast day is, not to go and lie on the sackcloth and to spend the day thinking about how you're suffering, but to take your suffering and channel it to remove the suffering of others. And now he mentions one mitzvah, and which is interesting because we had this earlier in Yeshaya also. On the Haftorah we read on a regular fast day, Dirshu Hashem Behimotzo. And on that fast day also, it's stressed Shabbos, Kol Shomer Shabbos Mechalalo. We talked about Shmira Shabbos, which is interesting. And on the morning of Yom Kippur again, this is the mitzvah that's singled out. In Toshiv Mishabbos Raglecha, if you restrain your foot because it's Shabbos. You were going to go travel somewhere. It can apply very often. You go to the mountains and the Catskills. Here it's all civilized. It's all settled. You have houses one next to the other. But you're in the mountains and you leave the bungalow colony and you start walking. And all of a sudden you realize you're getting close to the Tchum. You're only allowed to walk 2,000 amas outside the settlement. And you say, oh, I better turn back. Not because I'm tired, not because I'm afraid of getting lost, because it's Shabbos. Im toshiv mi Shabbos raglecha. Because it's Shabbos, you pull your foot back. I can't go there. Asos chafotzecha biyom kodshi. And you refrain from your own needs, from doing your own business, your own interests. Biyom kodshi, on my holy day. V'karosa la Shabbos oneg. And you proclaim Shabbos a delight. Likadosh Hashem, the day that's the holy day of Hashem. You think of that day, Mechubad. This is an honorable day. V'chibadato me'asos terochecha. And you honor it from not seeking your own affairs. Mimitzo cheftzecha. From doing your own needs, what you want. V'daber dover, in even speech. You're careful how you speak because today is Shabbos. And this is interesting. These activities are not the Lamed Tes Malachos. They're not the 39 forbidden areas of work. But the Gemara learns it out that there's a din. The Rabbanan said you're not allowed to do these activities. But it's based on this pasuk. So a person, it's Shabbos is meant to be this type of day.
That's true.
The Gemara learns out, Mimitzo chafotzecha, you can't do your needs. Chafotzecha asurim, cheftze shamayim mutarim. You're not allowed to do your needs on Shabbos. You can't talk business. But you could talk mitzvah business. Chefzei Shamayim. That's why you can make an appeal in shul. People will give money. They'll poskim tzedakah. That's allowed. Means so chefzecha v'daber dover, and you have to watch even your speech. On Shabbos, you can't tell a goy to do things that you're not allowed to do. Of course, all these things are detailed halachas. We're just learning the pasuk. And by the way, the Marshos is a beautiful thought in this Gemara, the Gemara on Shabbos. Let's see the next pasuk first. Oz tisana gal Hashem, then you will delight in Hashem. V'hir kavticha v'masei oretz, and I'll mount you on the heights of the world. V'achalticha nachlas Yaakov avicha, I'll provide you the heritage of your forefather Yaakov. Kifi Hashem dibir, the mouth of Hashem has spoken. Again, it's just fascinating. And this is the end of the Haftorah on Yom Kippur. It talks about the purpose of the fast days to care for the poor. And then the one mitzvah it mentions is Shabbos, as we've mentioned before, because you're living your belief in Hashem and in the creation of the world. And Hashem knows what you're doing, knows what we're doing, and there's reward and there's punishment. And He's conveyed to us with Nevuah about the mitzvah of Shabbos.
Cool.
Keeping Shabbos shows all the belief and all the fundamentals of Judaism. And that's why Shabbos is the one thing that's singled out. And the Gemara learns out, why does it mention, V'achalticha nachlas Yaakov avicha, I'll provide you the heritage of your forefather Yaakov. The Matsudas explains the simple explanation is, because Avram's heritage, well, he had a son Yishmael, who also got something from Avram. Yitzchak, there was a son Esav. Yaakov is the one that it's only for the Jewish people. Every one of Yaakov's children was a tzaddik, the Shivtei Koh. The heritage of Nachlas Yaakov Avicha, of Yaakov, the reward for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish nation, that's the reward of the one who is Shomer Shabbos. And Rashi brings down what the Gemara says in Shabbos on Kuf Yud Ches. The Gemara says, "Kol ha'maneges haShabbos." Somebody who delights in Shabbos, he's given a nachlo without boundaries. He's given a heritage that's limitless. Avraham Avinu was given the land, and he was told, "Kumi salich ba'aretz la'arko la'rachba, travel around the country; it'll be yours." Wherever he went, it was Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak was told, "Ki lechol zaracha etenes kolo aratzu sael." I'll give you these lands, but again, it was limited to those lands, the lands of Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov was told, "Ufaratzta yomo v'kedmo v'tzafon v'negbo." In all directions, it break out, and his strength would be in all directions. It would become his. The Marsha mentions, it's actually on the next piece of Gemara, but it's the first Marsha on Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis. The Marsha makes a point, "Delo matzinu sheyehem muter lis aneg, leilech achar hamoisrois, ela b'shabbos." Where do you find that Hashem says, have delight, take pleasure? That's not normally the purpose in this world. In this world, we're here to serve Hashem and develop that spiritual connection.
Right.
Where do you find, the Marsha says, "Delo matzinu sheyehem muter lisanig"? Where is it muter to just have a pleasure, leilech achar hamosros, that a person should be seeking luxuries and extras? You find it by Shabbos. Shenemar bo v'karosol haShabbos oneg. And the Gemara says afterwards, if somebody's ma'anig Shabbos, he'll be given whatever his heart desires. And the Marsha says a beautiful thing. On Shabbos, we're supposed to make it a delight. The problem is, on Shabbos, you can't daven for your personal needs. So the guy went ahead, and he bought himself a 7-layer cake for Shabbos. and it cost him. But he can't daven Shemone Esrei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me money for the seven-layer cake. So the Gemara says, if a person takes delight in Shabbos, even if he can't daven and ask for what he needs, Hashem will give him whatever his heart desires. Right. That there's a tremendous mitzvah, yeah, and the person making Shabbos a delight, he'll be given the heritage of Yaakov, your forefather, Kifi Hashem Diber, so has Hashem spoken.